The Angel Tree by Lucinda Riley, read by Juliet Stevenson. Christmas Eve, 1985. Marchmont Hall, Monmouthshire, Wales. Chapter 1. David Marchmont glanced towards his passenger as he steered the car along the narrow lane. The snow was falling in earnest now, making the already dangerously icy road even more precarious.
"Not far now, Greta, and it looks as if we've made it just in time. I reckon this lane will be impassable by morning."
"Does anything seem familiar?" he asked tentatively. Greta turned towards him. Her ivory skin was still unlined, even though she was 58 years old, and her huge blue eyes dominated what David had always thought of as her doll-like face. Age hadn't dimmed the vividness of their colour, but they no longer shone with excitement or anger. The light behind them had disappeared long ago, and they remained as blank and innocent as the inanimate china facsimile she reminded him of.
"I know I once lived here, but I can't remember it, David. I'm sorry."
"Not to worry," he comforted her, knowing how much it distressed her, and also thinking that if he could edit out of his memory that first grisly, devastating sight of his childhood home after the fire, the pungent smell of charred wood and smoke remained with him to this day, he almost certainly would. "Of course, Marchmont is well on its way to being restored now."
"Yes, David, I know. You told me that last week when you came over to me for supper. I cooked lamb cutlets and we had a bottle of Sancerre," she said defensively. "You said we were staying in the house itself."
"Exactly right," David agreed equably, understanding that Greta always felt the need to give him exact details of recent events, even if the past before her accident was inaccessible to her. As he navigated the ice-rutted lane, the tyres struggling to maintain a grip on the slight incline, he now wondered if bringing Greta back here for Christmas was a good idea. Frankly, he'd been amazed when she'd finally accepted his invitation, after years of trying to persuade her to leave her Mayfair apartment and receiving a firm no. At last, after 3 years of painstaking renovation to restore the house to some semblance of its former glory, he'd felt it was the right moment. And for some reason, out of the blue, so had she. At least he knew the house would be physically warm and comfortable. Although emotionally, for either of them, given the circumstances, he didn't know.
"It's getting dark already," Greta commented blandly. "And it's only just past 3 o'clock.
"Yes, but I hope the light will hold long enough so we can at least see Marchmont."
"Where I used to live?"
"Yes."
"With Owen, my husband, who was your uncle?"
"Yes."
David knew that Greta had simply memorised the details of the past she'd forgotten, as if she were taking an exam. And it was he who had been Greta's teacher, told by the doctors who cared for her to steer clear of any traumatic events, but to mention names, dates and places that might stir something in her subconscious and provide the key to recovering her lost memory. Occasionally, when he went to visit her and they chatted, he thought he saw a flicker of recognition at something he mentioned, but he couldn't be sure whether that was through what he had told her since or what she actually remembered. And after all these years, the doctors, who'd once been certain that Greta's memory would slowly return, as there was nothing to indicate it wouldn't on the numerous brain scans she'd had since the accident, now talked of selective amnesia brought on by trauma. In their opinion, Greta did not want to remember. David steered the car slowly around the treacherous bend in the lane, knowing that within a few seconds, the gates that led to Marchmont